This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by otbdiscs.com.
At one point in time, if you listened to the show, you knew about our little secret site to get awesome discs. It's not a secret anymore. It is a site where you can learn everything about the discs you're purchasing before you actually have them in your hands.
Get disc weight, dominess, flatness, all kinds of ratings. Learn it before you get it in there and get your favorite disc at only the best discs, otbdiscs.com. Use promo code DGPODCAST to get free shipping on your next order. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 214 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin, and alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
We back, friends.
It's been a minute. We're sorry. Kind of. It's been crazy. I think most of you can probably relate to that, but hopefully we'll be able to get back on pace and release regular content for everyone. But thank you for your patience. I haven't had too many people being like, what the hell? Give me that.
Yeah, I know. We more get like the, hey, you guys recording? And then we go, no, I'm sorry. Love you. So we're going to get back on it because I have, the club is closed next week. So I for sure will be able to find time next week.
Okay.
And the week after.
Yeah. So I should be able to find time.
So I think we're back on it. I think we're in the holiday home stretch.
The good news is that we're coinciding with an epic amount of disc golf news, tournament information, everything that we can talk about. So we're going to ramp up right into this like perfect
Robin.
It's definitely not the down Robin, season. It's
mid-November.
Yeah, but there's like a tournament next week and like
well, what's that tournament?
Paul McBeth is gonna like do some stuff and
what's the
and,
stuff?
Brody Smith's probably gonna release a video about something.
Oh well, that yes, yeah, so yeah, he'll release three
and,
of them.
And you know,
he'll release three of them, and every minute 30 seconds there will be a commercial in them. But
that's how YouTube works now. So that's pretty much the same, regardless of whether you monetize.
But does it need to
or not?
What does it need to?
It well actually. Sad note, YouTube is going to start monetizing videos whether you want to or not. So like if you wanted to have a free channel with no ads, if it gets enough traffic, YouTube has in their recent update said you have to consent to us monetizing.
All right, follow us on Vimeo.
You. Yeah.
Follow us on Vimeo.
YouTube is dead, bro. They're
But I love YouTube. I watch
you don't
so much
love
YouTube.
YouTube. You don't love YouTube.
I like YouTube creators.
You like
I love YouTube creators.
You like the people that put cool stuff on YouTube, but you don't like YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's strong. So, also in just to continue on the season of content that we've got going on here, Gru has a new podcast. Everyone should give it a listen. It's going to be great. I can't imagine how it could be anything other than just pure sex.
I imagine this is totally should be a pre-show what I'm going to say. Damn it. I imagine it's just him like with a mic on throwing drives and be like, oh, that one went 560. And then just silence. Oh, that's probably 610.
That was a mini judge.
Oh, that was like 700. That was a buzz. And here's the thing. Do I want to listen to that? No. Do I think he's lying about distances? Probably not.
Well, I mean, 700 with a
well,
with
that
a buzz
was a joke.
Is probably,
but
you know.
Legit, if nothing else you can give that man, which I'm sure there's plenty, dude can absolutely, absolutely crush.
1,000%. Is a crusher. So but that's fantastic.
I would not be blown away that if we went to a field and I threw my longest driver and he threw a mini that I have a very good chance of losing that distance competition.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, you'd be dead in the water. I mean, yeah.
That's the life.
It would be bad. Like,
oh yeah, but give it a glisten.
But you know, all you got to do, Joe, is get some part of the Constitution tattooed on your arm, and you'll all of a sudden.
Oh, the preamble? The preamble to the Constitution?
Yeah. If you get that there, then all of a sudden you will have the power just in your body to overcome everything and throw far.
I have the First Amendment on my lower stomach, but only.
You do?
But I didn't put the right about free speech on it.
Okay.
Just. Just like religion and to assemble peacefully. That's all I got. Speech, whatever. Got it. That's all the First Amendment, right? I hope that's right.
No,
I don't know.
There's five parts, but no big deal.
You know, it's fine. I took history 25 years ago about this.
I'm glad you have that tattooed on your pubic bone. But
listen, I got a big stomach. I can't see that shit.
Lots of fur too.
I gotta
wow,
stretch
this
in the mirror.
Really
gotta stretch in the mirror.
It's getting very strange. So we've got a great show for you guys tonight.
Hopefully.
Contrary to that 5-minute and 30-second really terrible intro, we are gonna talk about off-season player moves. That's probably the biggest thing that Joe and I want to discuss tonight, is that there's a bunch of players that have expiring contracts. Some of them are pretty interesting names. And over the past couple of years, player moves, starting with Paul Macbeth going to Discraft, it's become a disc golf topic. So we're gonna discuss that, make some kind of reckless presumptions, predictions, as to where they might go, and
facts,
yeah,
or no, none of those.
We just have no idea, no actual information. So we're just gonna take our wildest guess as to where these players might go and what might make sense, and things like that. Like, I'll save it for when we actually talk about it. But you know how well Michael Johansson throws a comet?
Yeah.
Who else has long hair and might throw a comet good? Just think about that.
Thanks.
And we'll go on. We'll go from there. We also we'll talk a little bit about Prodigy. I got just a quick note on the founder of Prodigy that is moving on to other ventures. Just
and there's a quick note.
That could be it. We also, there was a cool video put out by Latitude 64 where they showed their molding process.
Oh yeah, that was right.
Which I think we should at least mention, and despite the fact that it's publicity for a wildly overpriced box of two discs, but nonetheless, very cool to see that stuff. And then we'll do our world famous gear review.
Before that, we do have some fun questions from listeners.
You just fucked up my intro.
I'm just joking. Go ahead, Robin.
You just, no, good. You're fine. Just go ahead. It's fine.
We have
it's
our
fine.
World famous deer review where we take a disc and we take a beer and we tell you whether you should take it on the course. Did I say it right?
No.
No, I messed that up. I felt really confident the first sentence and a half, and I was like, wait a minute, you should take them on the, I don't know.
It's a good thing you're so fucking pretty.
That's what my wife tells me every day as I leave the house. She's like, God damn, it's a good thing you're so fucking pretty. As she slaps me on the ass and kicks me out the door.
Pretty much, yeah.
By the way, did you see someone, we're going to tangent before you finish this, posted a picture in Slack of fucking some Chance versus Chumps, like, is this you, Joe? Did you see that?
No, didn't.
I could be very wrong. I could have a body dysmorphia in like the opposite instead of like thinking I'm like awful, thinking like I'm not that. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty large dude. And someone was like, is this you, Joe? I was like, nope. And I didn't want to say more, but I was like,
thanks.
I mean, I tell you about being like a big fat dude with a beard, but like, is that.
Why? How would that guy in that video feel?
Is that
now?
How I like, describe? It's fine. Don't worry about him.
Why? No, you're shaming.
Like, is that how I describe myself. One, two, people that have met me, like, am I in line with this person? And I just, in my mind, think I'm not close to that.
I don't know what the person is, but I feel like this is a dangerous area. One, because you're feeling, you
because
know,
you're big and
you're
fat.
Feeling shamed about your body, and at the same time, you are also judging that person in the picture about their body, which is not nice. And
I don't have that much muscle. Like, it's not my fault. I'm not that big and strong.
What if that guy's listening right now and hearing you being like, you don't want to be put in the same category as him and feeling sad? Like, everyone is beautiful, Joe. You got to learn to just...
You're beautiful.
Anyway, we have a great show for you tonight. Most importantly, we'll do our world-famous deer review. Our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we have the Mint Bullet, which is a 2-speed, 3-glide, 0-turn, 1-fade putter. And we're going to pair that with Dankful by Sierra Nevada, which is a 7.4% IPA. And yeah, that's going to be our deer review. A brand new mint putter. Y'all know I love putters. And it's going to be good.
Which is micro bead / beadless.
No, it's delicious.
Exactly. That's an all day Robin D.
Yeah, I can. This is a fairly unrecognizable bead on here.
Like,
so,
you could just pick that thing up and be like, oh, Robin loves this disc.
It, pretty close. That's pretty much what I did. I just put it in my hand. And I was like, oh yeah, this feels great.
Just put my penis. I mean, what?
So before I got into the deer review announcement, you wanted to interject something.
Yes.
Are you ready to interject that now, or were you? Did you just get distracted?
I got distracted. I'm trying to find this picture.
It was like a shine. It was like a bird and tree next to nearby, and you're like, oh, look at that! It's a bird. Or, wow.
What?
Okay, that was not helpful at all. All right, so while Joe is scrolling on his phone, either looking for the picture of the guy that he was compared to, or, you know, possibly looking up some things that he had notes for, why did you do that? Completely unimportant. Joe just spent the last 2 minutes scrolling on his phone looking for
something. First question.
That you guys can't see.
First question.
All right. You going to get back on track, Joe?
Joe.
This is where I wish we did post editing.
Joe. Ace yet?
Nope. Joe has no aces.
You didn't play with me last weekend. I have no aces.
No
aces. Second question. Yeah, when is Joe going to ace?
Probably.
I have 2 and 2 ones. That's not really a question. That's more a comment being a dick. Thanks, Sean.
Okay, so just for what Joe is doing right here is he asked people in our Slack group to give us questions.
Yeah.
Because since you didn't give any.
Oh, yeah. I started that like way earlier, and then you're like, why? You just ruined everything of you, this.
Well, I mean, continuing to, but it's fine. It's fine. Continue on. So Joe sent out to our Slack group, which is awesome. If you want to check that out, go to our website, throwstuffatstuff.com. There's a link that says join Slack. It's an awesome kind of chat community, disc golf community. There's like, I don't know, 1,050 people, something like in there at this point. Chat groups for your area, all kinds of different stuff. It's good times.
All right, here's a good question. This is actually a really good one. Some of the other questions we're actually going to get to later. What do you think your rating is? Both of us.
My rating is 0.
No, like if you had a rating, what would it be?
I don't know. I don't know how I would answer that because
I just take a stab of.
It's hard to say.
It is. But I think you can make a.
So Joe and I, while we love disc golf and we love playing, I rarely have time to play actual sanctioned tournaments. In fact,
oh yeah,
neither of us has ever done it. And
sanctioned? No, we've played like. C tiers, I guess, or
many tournaments, but most of them have been not true sanctioned PDGA tournaments. where you would get a rating from. So
yeah,
mostly that's for me. I work a shit ton and don't have time for that, but I still love the game. And if you want to judge me, I don't care. I think that were I to compete, my rating would be much higher. I think the player that I currently am would be like very low 900s, like 905. I think that would be where I would play out if you were to conflate a standard round with a tournament round, which is not something that you can actually
and
do.
And so here's where I go, and I think I'm probably like 875. So we are, and by I'll say me, I think Robin too, but he might be a little more consistent than me. I have huge swings, and that's my intermediate world. I think I'm capable of a mid 900 round, but if I'm playing a tournament, I'm also capable of getting out there and throwing like a 790 round the next round.
Yeah. Me too.
I can throw a minus six one day, play the exact same course the next day, and throw a plus six.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of gross. I think skill wise, both of us are low to maybe even mid 900 skill players with the tools that we have in our. I'm a little bit low because I don't have a forehand.
I don't even want to speculate on that because you don't know until you get out and compete.
We are if you're playing with us and we're playing well, we're gonna play well. There's a very good chance that we play like shit too, and that's all world. Yeah. We've had lots of people come play rounds with us, and we have done all and in between.
I think that my kids, when they get a little bit older, I'll be able to compete, and at that point, I might be MA40 type situation. But yeah, I think that's where I'll be playing and doing things like that. But for the most part, like if you go back and listen to the first episode of this podcast, we started this podcast because Joe and I work a ton. We love disc golf. We have children. We're extremely busy, and we wanted another outlet for our love of the sport. And that's why we created it. So
I will say though, that through this podcast and talking through it and checking out discs and throwing discs in the field and hanging out and all that good stuff, granted, we're talking like 4 years' time. We are both much better golfers.
Probably,
at this point than we were when we began. I think I've made a much larger growth in this time because you were much better than me at the beginning. Like, embarrassingly so.
Yeah, I mean, there was a good portion of the early... like first couple years of the podcast where if you beat me it was
you had a real bad round.
Yeah, it was either a real bad round or yeah, probably
it was all real bad round. There was some, it wasn't me having a real good round because that wasn't,
yeah.
But
you grew as a disc golfer, and I did not.
No, you're still, we just caught stride together. I mean, this question is just kind of silly because I mean, we talked to it, but I guess we can actually legitimately, it's not a pre-show. We can talk truth. If you had to golf sober, would it be worth it?
Absolutely.
Totally.
I've done it plenty of times.
A ton. And we take turns driving too. And there's multiple times that if we're driving, we stay sober.
Yep.
And it's totally worth it. It's, You get to go out and throw, of course it is. I know it's just a joke question, but I just felt like reading it and getting into it.
We wouldn't play the game if it wasn't worth it without anything else. Like so, and I should say, if you made me choose, I would choose disc golf.
Yeah, totally.
Yep,
totally. 100%.
1000%. Like if you said tomorrow, no more beer, you're just gonna do disc golf, I'm doing disc golf.
Yeah, I would. Choose, and it, I would wouldn't even be. Over booze
it
sure.
wouldn't even be like that difficult of a. It'd just be like, okay, yep, that's happening.
Next question. It's more of a comment. It's more of a request. And I don't think it's something we've ever done on a main show. But because you are a content machine and I think you can handle it, it can be short and sweet, but there is a request for a Robin's plant rant.
Okay. So, a plant rant. I'll give
a quick
background. So, I am a landscape architect and a landscape contractor, and I do mostly high end residential gardens in the North Bay of California. So, like wine country, pretty much Sonoma, Napa, more or less all these areas. So, regularly deal with plants, things like that. Just like all of you have little small things that annoy you about your profession, things that people do all of the time. I have those things about plants because there are a lot of misconceptions about plants. A lot of them really stemming from like people expecting plants to be kind of like a statue or like something along those lines, like that they just... You just put the plant in and it's going to grow and it's going to flower all the fucking time and it's going to like be green and you don't have to do anything to it. It's not going to have any pest problems. You're not going to have to trim it. It's not going to drop any leaves. It's just going to be this cool plant like you see in a picture. And no one really understands that a plant is a living thing and you have to care for it. And that, so it really stems from that core thing. Like, I'll get people that come to me and they're like, I want this plant, I want it to be evergreen, I would like the flower like most of the time but not all the time, and I want it to grow big but not too big, and I would also prefer if it had some fragrance to it maybe. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That doesn't
like,
exist.
What the fuck are you describing? Oh, and I don't want it to drop leaves and make a mess. I'm like, every fucking plant that has... All right, I'm getting away from myself here. I'm just going to calm down. Everything...
I want it to flower forever, but not like where the flower like falls off at the end.
Let me make this 1,000% clear. If it has leaves, it drops leaves. Evergreen does not mean it doesn't drop leaves, people. If it has leaves or needles at some point in the season, it will drop them. Get a job. All right. Next question, Joe.
I want all olive trees, but I don't want a mess to clean up ever.
I hear about fruitless olives. No, it's not fruitless. It's fruitless. It will fruit less. It will still produce olives. You dingbats. God.
I like this one. This is from our boy Julian, our Jibro extraordinaire. If you were to describe yourself as a disc, what disc would you identify as?
Well, I mean, everybody knows I love putters. I mean, not everybody.
Yeah.
Most people know that I love putters, but... I
don't think you're a putter. I feel like...
I don't think I'm a putter.
Let's switch it up. I will describe you. You describe me.
Okay. Fair enough. You go first.
I think possibly... and I don't think it's like a secret favorite of yours. I think it's probably been your favorite the longest out of anything. I think the disc that identifies you the best is the Buzz.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. That's where I was going. With
super super consistent. I mean,
most of the time,
pretty straight.
Super consistent with the Buzz.
Pretty straight.
Yeah, mostly straight. I mean, I'll dabble.
Sometimes depends on who it is. They might think it's not as straight as as it really is.
Maybe I just want to see how straight up the other people's D's are.
You know, long, not too long. Gets the job done. Feels good.
Mid-range size.
Flies good. Widely regarded and appreciated by the vast majority.
Yeah. For you, you are the mayhem. You are loud. You are all over the place. just never know what's going to come out.
Outside the podcast, though, am I?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
My clothes are, if I have the chance. If I got the chance to wear
sport
cool
nips and floral shirts.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. I'll rock a flamingo shirt, some pink shorts. Fuck yeah, let's get after it.
But actually, you're probably right. Like, in reality, I might be more mayhem than you are. But just thinking from like a
if we're going that route, you're more like Destroyer. Like, when you decide... When you decide it's over, it's fucking over. Yeah.
But from a podcast standpoint, yeah. Like the interjections and all that sort of stuff.
I could also be a tantrum, you know.
Yeah, that's
true. We could just stay axiom. I'm pretty axiom, bright, loud, chaotic.
Yep. Very nice. All right, is that all you got?
Big, strong.
Oh, okay.
Long.
All right, let's this is getting weird.
I mean, we're going mid. Just saying.
God.
Will you guys ever play a sanctioned tournament? I'm sure we will. There will be a world where we'll play tournaments.
Yes.
Like 3-day tournaments? Maybe not. Maybe someday down the line. I'm giving up. I think I'm a
My kid's got to get older, honestly.
Right. And I think I'm a few years away from my son, like, being that age of, like, wanting to carry my bag and hang out and, like, be a part of that shit. Like, we're going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to take some time. But I'm busy. Joe's busy. It's maybe we're supposed to make time for it, but I don't know. It's hard. So we try.
Let's see. The next one is... It's not really that big. It comes down to you should put your putters against each other and see who putts better and do perfect putt 360 and blah, blah, blah. And Robin kind of dispelled this already in the Slack group. We play horse a lot. We've played horse a lot. We haven't lately.
I don't think we've ever done perfect putt 360.
No, but I mean, still, horse is going to be real similar. And you had your putting set up out in your yard, which is, I think, possibly better than that too.
Yeah.
The real deal is, I don't think I've ever beaten Robin in horse. If I ever have, even one time, it's through gimmicky fucking like turbo putts and him having a bad day. Like, we can play a full round. I feel like the last time we played horse, we played a full round, and I putted much better than you during the round.
Yep.
And then we got to a practice basket and played horse, and I got my shit kicked in. Like, when we get down on that, like...
I don't know what it is. I wish I could bottle it and like, just bring it out on the course.
I'm pretty positive I've never beaten Robin in, like, a straight just... putting competition.
But I also think that it could be something that would come out in tournament play, like that competitive, because I'm very competitive. But like, I also, when we go out and play, I'm not like, I'm like out there to have a good time. It's like my only time off during the week. Like, my only time away from my children and like not working is a Saturday morning playing disc golf with Joe. And so I'm like not really in necessarily a competition mode. Like, I want to play well and I want to win, but it's not quite the same. But for whatever reason, you get me in that, like, let's have a putting tournament, and I'm like, okay. And then I zero into a different
mode.
I
would say when we go and play rounds, especially with each other, we're playing more against ourselves than we are each other.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like,
yeah.
It's really like, I know I can do better than this, blah, blah. It's rare that it really gets to trying to beat each other. I think maybe if we started playing like more match play style and played like per hole, that might actually make it more fun and competitive, because either one of us has had that time where I'm like, well, I just threw a +3. Like, there goes.
Yeah.
There goes the round.
Yep.
So maybe more match play would be fun.
Yeah.
But really, it is. Yeah, it's against each other. I mean, against ourselves. It's really like, how can I improve my personal best score?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to get the best score I've gotten on the course rather than beating Robin. And I'll tell you right now, like, when we play, and if we play one of our home courses that say we're usually 2 or 3 under par, and Robin beats me +3 to my +4, it still feels like shit.
Yeah, no, I'm
like,
not.
It's not
I'm
like, it's like, oh, I got you.
It's
fucker.
Like we look at
it's
each like, other and we're like,
we played
we
like
both,
shit.
We
like,
both lost.
Yeah, exactly,
we both lost. Today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I think that's a part of it. Maybe let's mess around with some match play. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've had it in the past, like where we talked about like playing for a personal tag or something like that. And, you know, maybe that would help increase the you know, the competitive spirit. But yeah, whatever, for whatever reason, if you put me in a putting match versus Joe, I win. I Joe might be right. I think Joe's won at least once, probably on like a turbo putt or something like that.
Yeah.
At least 99% of the time I beat Joe at horse, and we played quite a few enough horse rounds to make it a thing.
Yeah. Enough horse rounds for me to be like, I'm not going to win. Like the last time we played, there was a good moment where I was like, oh, I think I got this. Like this is feeling good. My stroke's good. Things are going in. And then like,
why is Robin making those putts that he couldn't make on the course all day?
Right. And then it just continued. And then it was like, he doesn't miss anything. And okay. And I lost. I feel like it was like an H-O-R-S to H-O-S-E. I feel like last time was like the closest to the wire it's been forever with good putting.
Yeah.
Like we've had close before and it was just we both sucked and it just was a fucking 25-minute we miss everything. And this last one was like we both were hitting good putts and then he just hit more good ones than me.
Yeah.
All right, last one. It's like multiple parts, and we can just talk through
just
it.
Just pick the best ones from this one, please.
No, it's like it's all together. It's all
okay.
It's all built in together. So I'm just going to read.
I know. I read it.
When you started the first podcast, the football one, which we talked about, there was a guy who brought you guys in, right? Did you learn editing before you started the podcast? How hard was it to put yourself out there? That's kind of where it's at in my mind. I think
we
those
did
are the
not
three big ones.
It was it, we did not learn anything.
We got brought
we just
in
started.
By a good buddy, and honestly, in my mind, I knew it was for like 5 dudes, and I was just like, what? There was no worry about putting myself out there for that. And I've played in bands forever, too, so putting myself out there has never really been a big deal. Didn't know any of the editing. I mean, I played in bands and recorded music and stuff, so that editing little bit kicked in, and I knew enough to like putz our way through, and then really putting ourselves out there. I don't think was ever a huge deal because we were just hanging out. Like we're still just hanging out.
Yep, pretty much.
And we get to, you know, we do a little bit of homework, Robin more so than me, and putting, I think that's the hardest part probably is just like figuring out what the hell we're going to talk about. But once we get rolling, we just have fun and just bullshit. And it's really our friendship that drives it more than,
definitely
trying to be personas and deliver a product.
Yep, absolutely. We wouldn't do this if we didn't like hanging out talking about disc golf.
Yeah,
that's it.
So that's from TJ Smoke Show.
So
that's all.
That's all.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
that was good. So I guess off-season player moves. You ready to talk about that?
I am. Before we get into specific players, I feel like this is the year, and I don't know who the player is, and that's why I'm bringing up. And I know, I think, I hope I'm not wrong, I feel like Charlie Goodpasture might be like the main one. I feel like Casta is ready for like a big pro.
Okay.
And he might not be the one. I feel like he is, though. I feel like Cast is, like, so, they're starting to have a good run of discs. They have a lot more, you know, it'd have to be a mixed bag then, because I don't know if they have, like, all the slots filled, but they have some really good discs. Like, I've been pretty impressed with Casta discs over the last, like, mm-hmm. year or so. You know, maybe we'll see someone cool go to Casta.
All right. Well, let me just quickly. So I had my tease early on I don't know if you remember what it was. I feel like it'd be pretty obvious, but let me then read off the top players that as reported by Ulta World that have expiring contracts at the end of 2020. So we have Nate Perkins, Leo Pirinen, Kyle Kline, Eagle McMahon, who as of today, when this podcast is being recorded, has just announced a new three-year deal with Discmania. So he is signed at this point. So no longer part of that list. Michael Johansson, Brian Earhart, Haley King, Andrew Presnell, Vanessa Van Dyken, AJ Riesley, Paige Hsu, Greg Barsby, James Conrad, Hannah Blumroos, Johnny McRae, and Ezra Adderhold. So these are 16 players that Ulta World managed to confirm their contracts and what they're for. There's certainly probably more players that we're not aware of because perhaps their contract details are just completely unaware of at this point. So there's that. But these are some pretty significant players that have expiring deals. We, in the past on this podcast, have questioned how strong these disc golf contracts are, like what it actually means to breach a contract in disc golf. And I think prior to the last 2 years, it probably was pretty easy to breach a contract in disc golf. Like, there may not have been actual contracts leading up until the last few years. Like, players probably were free to go and had very little language in their contracts. May have even been just kind of like month-to-month type employees of these companies.
There's some big names on that list.
Yeah, definitely. So, back to my previous question, can you think of a long-haired player that would throw a comment really well?
Yes.
Yeah. Who would that be?
Michael Johansson. Oh, James Conrad. I knew you were going. I was saying they both have long hair, and MJ throws a comment real well.
I mean, if Discraft was going to continue their model of just signing the best players in the world, I think James Conrad would do pretty well throwing a Roach or a Luna or any given disc in their lineup. So,
do you think he would just take over the Roach just to like be like,
I would love it.
Leave me alone. This is my disc.
I would love it. That'd be great.
Oh, the long hair Roach? That'd be your jam.
I'd be all about it. But he does throw Casey Pro AVRs, which are beaded and pretty different shape.
But you know what doesn't have a big following and is an OG Discraft disc, and they would love like a rebirth of it? The Magnet.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. That's kind of a weird shaped one, though.
It is.
So I don't know about that one.
It's weird. So who do you think? Like, I feel like just bring him up. I was gonna say who's the number one free agent, and I feel like it's him.
Yeah, of course.
I want to say Ezra.
Eagle McMahon was, but right, he's re-signed with Discmania. I think there's no way Nate Perkins leaves Discmania. The Night Strike 2 has probably.
I was just saying because of the Night Strike.
The Night Strike has been probably the majority of his income. If you guys
like three now,
yeah. Oh, that's true. If you guys want to go back to our Simon episode, I don't remember which number it was, but he said on that episode that signature disc sales were like, I think it was something like 60 or 65% of his income.
Yeah.
So getting a cash cow.
And good for him finally turning out a high-speed driver. I'm sure he was like, oh, thank goodness, now I'm making money.
So having a disc like the Night Strike, I think there's no way Nate Perkins leaves Discmania. Could be wrong.
I just don't know.
But look at all those Discmania guys. So Nate Perkins, Leo Pirinen, Kyle Kline. I could see Kyle Kline moving on, but he just had a signature disc.
He did that M5.
Just came out, so I'd say that's probably he's sticking around. Eagle McMahon obviously signed. Michael Johansson with Discraft. At this point, why would Michael Johansson shift?
And why wouldn't Discraft be like?
Yeah, I think MJ is just like he's synonymous with the comment.
Yep,
he's such a great player. Brian,
you know where he could go? You know where he could go? And I don't think it would be a crazy stretch. I think it actually might be a match made in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Axiom MVP. Yeah. I think he could be a hardcore gyro. I think he'd get mega glide out of some really cool gyro discs.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible. I don't think Discraft loses players. I think that
I don't think so either.
Anything,
like, everyone you read, I'm like, I guess I can go to Discraft.
I think if anything, Discraft gobbles up players because I think they've printed money last year. So I just think they just move even more. Like, get even more. So Andrew Presnell, a Discraft, Haley King, Discraft, expiring Vanessa Van Dyken, Discraft, AJ Riesley, Dynamic Disc, Paige Hsu, Dynamic Disc. I think she stays with Dynamic Disc. There's a lot of family in there.
Is there, though?
I think so.
Because
Doug is very much in that.
Well, her husband didn't get picked back up by.
That's true.
By Trilogy.
That's true.
I just don't know that that's
fair
their,
enough.
Their
yeah,
world
no,
right
you
now.
Could be right.
You know, and she, one, she didn't play a lot of tournaments, but she didn't play fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
Oh, go through it. We can go one by
so
one.
So then Greg Barsby, currently with Innova. I don't know. Of the players on this list that a potential sponsor would look at.
I think let's just start at one and just speculate.
One is who? James Conrad?
I would just say the top.
In my opinion, the most interesting player on this list is James Conrad.
Yeah.
And the second most interesting player is Ezra Adderhold.
Yeah.
Currently sponsored by OTB, but no brand sponsor.
Right.
So I think those are the two most interesting names on this list. Johnny McRae, nobody cares. Hannah Blumroos is awesome. I think that could be one that could get added to maybe a Discmania team or something like that.
Or
Latitude 64 like that. I could see that being a nice ad for someone. But to me, James Conrad, Ezra Adderhold are the two most interesting in terms of a push. The other ones, it's not they're not interesting. I just don't really see them leaving. Like, I see Earhart staying with Discraft. Like, I just don't see him leaving. And I see...
Well, here's a kicker. And I could see
Presnell moving, but it wouldn't be, like, earth-shattering.
This is no hate. This is no anything. He's a million times better disc golfer than me. Does Discraft want Earhart?
Yes. I think they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he's as like his personality.
Yes.
Is
as a brand ambassador. Yes.
I totally agree with that.
Yes.
You know,
that's why I don't think he leaves Discraft. I just don't think that it's like for these other companies.
So here's a crazy, I'm going to throw this out there. So Eagle just re-signed. I think last season Simon re-signed for a whole bunch of years too. Say you lose Leo Pirinen.
Mm-hmm.
You lose Kyle Klein.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else that I'm forgetting?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, Eagle already resigned.
Perkins.
But I said.
But in sales in Mojo.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that you have to lose all three of them for this. Ezra would be real nice for Discmania.
It would.
He's a huge P2 proponent already.
Yep.
Discmania is known at that top end when you talk to the Simon the Eagle for just beefy ass fucking discs.
Yep.
That's a dude
of which he
big,
can handle
big power.
Yeah.
Can run.
No, it
through
makes
all
the
shit.
Sense in the world. And
let's go further. Could a Perkins move with his good friend Paige to Discraft?
Yeah. I mean, they could all go to Discraft.
I almost feel like Perkins is a fit for DD.
No, I don't see that. I don't see that
I just
at all.
Think his game's kind of funky.
You, well, just think about the Paige. You know,
true. Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Touche.
It's touché. Like, I could see them all going to Discraft. Just Discraft being like, we're the man up in this in this beat.
It's just like boring at that point though too. Like someone else got to get in at some point.
I know, but if you've got the putting out the best offer to these players, but I feel like Nate Perkins probably makes a good amount of money off those night strikes.
For sure, he
and he's probably not planning on getting rid of that and then trying to figure out what Discraft disc is going to be his signature disc that makes him that money. And in a diluted field where suddenly, like with Discmania, you're what, the fourth best player on Discmania's
Perkins
team? Fourth?
Is that what you're on, Perkins?
Yeah.
Kyle Klein's better than...
Yeah. But in terms of like name recognition and disc sales, he's probably third.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Sorry. Ezra's already there, and I'm like...
I mean,
Ezra's the number three.
I feel like the Night Strikes sell better than the Pyranid. The Pyranid, is it the...
Well, that was CD2's, a three. That right? was the that. No, Pyranin, isn't he the three tool?
Oh yeah, FD3? Yeah. I think
the Royal Rage, isn't that?
We should Google this.
I'll just pull one off. Just
no, no. Use the internet.
My cord goes all the way there.
Oh God, this doesn't help me. All right. So, but nonetheless,
here's what about
you're about to fumble through some discs instead of typing two words.
What about Kyle Klein?
Yeah.
To DD. Did DD realize this year that they just live just fine without actually having a top tier player? Because they haven't.
Did
right?
they? I don't know.
Did they have a player that people care about this year? I don't think they did.
I know, but like, yeah, I think it's FD2.
Yeah. The three tooled FD2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay. That was like the
Glow C Line FD2.
Yeah. So
the Royal Rage.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Royal Rage. Yeah. That's what I said. I said that. Kyle Klein did all of his work without having a signature disc. They just gave him like a weird MD5, which is whatever. But dude was on Final Card. I mean, fell apart a few times. Final Card multiple times. And there's a whole bunch of Euro dudes, Discmania 2, that are big boy that it's like, I feel like there's like three other dudes that they're like, they're the next Boom Bros or whatever they call them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So my back to the main ones, James Conrad, Ezra Adderhold, and then my other one, Hannah Blumroos, I think is of note.
Yeah.
Being with Innova currently, being a great player.
So here's an easier place for us to speculate. Is this the year that we see someone outside of Innova or Discraft? I mean, Discmania has their big two, and I think that's fine. Is this the year that we see another brand pick up a big name? And I feel like this list is mostly big names. Do any of these go to a brand? Do any of these go to a gyro brand? Do any of these go to...
So every single one of these players on this list is currently signed with one of the top manufacturers, as in Discmania, Discraft, Dynamic Disc, Innova, Latitude 64, all actually
Trilogy, just called Trilogy,
manufactured yeah. by two companies.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There's two companies represented here. Actually, three, sorry.
Like, does anyone... I don't think so, to be honest. I don't think that we see MVP Axiom land somebody big.
Yeah.
I don't think we see Casta.
I mean, I think there's potential for one of the players on the list we talked about here moving to one of these, I'll say, smaller brands. But I think that of the big ones, it would have to take a lot of money, and I'm not sure the return on investment would be that good for them. So, but don't you think like a James Conrad Envy would?
Oh my God! If he went gyro, would James Conrad went gyro, that would revolutionize their business.
Yeah, I'll tell you right
fucking now, if they invested that money and got after it, that could be. He is the pro to sell that brand.
I think so. Like, think about a Conrad Electron Envy. Like, that would just...
Think about a Conrad that
would,
Mayhem.
That would break... Yeah, he doesn't really...
He throws Wraiths. He loves Wraiths.
Yeah, but...
He would crush a Mayhem.
Yeah, but Wraiths are 11 speed. I don't know if you... like.
It's fine. Photons? So, like, beat up a Trace. Photon?
A Trace would be, would be a better...
Just let me just be in my world.
Wraith, what if Trace, you know, very similar.
Conrad Pilot.
I know you like your pilots. Hello. A pilot would fit well for what he likes to do. But yeah, I don't know if that's in
Conrad
the cards.
Reactor.
So I, you know, it could see, but at the same time, he's been throwing the same green AVR for like 10 years. Like, does James Conrad really, at this chapter in his career, he's not up and coming anymore. He is James Conrad. He's been doing this for a while with success. Does he really want...
What did that green AVR do for him this year?
He did fine.
All right.
He loves Greeny. Greeny's his favorite AVR.
Just like
I'm just saying, does...
Thalberg loves Blackie, you know?
Well, yeah, but... This is
it's a black avia.
Don't put them
why
together.
Are you saying, what?
No, that's bad, Joe. Bad Joe.
But think about if you go
just
to
saying,
a company
at this point in this
think
career,
about if you go to a company where you get a fresh disc, and you don't have to beat the shit out of it to do what you want.
But
it to
he his favorite disc is an AVR that he's been throwing forever. So like maybe he doesn't want that.
His favorite disc is a Matrix. He just
he's been growing
yet.
His hair for like 27 yet. Years. I mean,
can we start sponsoring players? Can we just, we can't afford them, but I wish we
no,
could just be like,
no,
Conrad, you're sponsored by the Shedio. Take anything you want off the wall, mixed bag, get after it.
Oh, look, I've got one of your signature AVRs. You can have it.
It's untouched because we don't know that much.
I'm going to touch it, but I'm touching it now when I, never mind. But yeah, I don't know. It could be interesting. I'm instead of speculating, this is what I would like to see. I agree with you. I'd like to see Ezra go to Discmania. I think that would be cool.
I think that's a good, that huge sign.
And I think that's a great fit for him. I would like to see Hannah Bloomroos go to Latitude 64.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think that would be a perfect fit for her. And I think that'd be awesome. I think James Conrad is going to stay with Innova.
Yeah, I think so.
And I kind of want him to, because I just...
Can we get that man a signature Thunderbird, though? Can we get that man a James Conrad Thunderbird?
I think that would be great. I think Nate Perkins stays with Discmania. I think Leo Pirinen stays with Discmania. I think Kyle Klein will switch. I don't have a preference as to where he goes.
He's going to go Innova. He's going to go Innova.
I
He's
could
just
totally see him
going
to Innova. I think that'll be fine. Michael Johansson, I think, stays with Discraft. Yep. I think Brian Earhart stays with Discraft. I think Haley King stays with Discraft.
Oh, okay. Wild speculation, Earhart. What was his podcast called? Do you remember?
I don't know. I don't know.
The Buzz.
Okay. And
he
just
recently
changed it to the Flight Diary, right?
He I'm just saying he changed it from the Buzz.
Well, you know. Okay. Fair enough.
Earhart is a...
hold on. In traditional sports fashion, did he unfollow Discraft on social media?
Well, from what I've read, no one fucking pays attention to that in disc golf. So who the fuck knows?
Then wait, hold on. Let's check Paul Ubery's feed right now and see if Brian Earhart unfollowed him.
I could see Earhart go. I could see him going somewhere. I could see him staying. I could see him going. Okay. I think he's a solid sign for any manufacturer purely.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Because of personality. And he's a good thrower and he's a lefty, which is a nice little extra little piece there.
Yeah. Haley King.
Discraft.
I would like her to stay with Discraft.
It would be
I think it's a great
insane
fit for her.
Insane for Discraft
to
not
let her
lock
go.
That up.
Totally agree.
She, I'm going to tell you, in the next 3 years, she will be top two.
Ooh. Yeah, I like that prediction.
I'm saying it. Which side of that top two, because that's too much for me to speculate on, but top two. I believe.
I mean, if you're saying top two, why not just
because I don't know. Because I don't
okay.
know.
Okay. All right. Fine. But yeah, I think that's a good summation of all our feelings on that one. All right. So the other thing we had on our list was that the original co-founder of Prodigy, Phil Arthur. This was sent to us by one of our Slack moderators, Matt Raymond. Phil Arthur, which, to be honest, I'm not sure a lot of disc golfers actually know.
Phil Arthur?
who he is, but a former world champion and co-founder of Prodigy Disc is moving on and planning to basically pursue new ventures in disc golf.
Is that the real reason they started their stupid naming dynamic with the PA?
It very well could be the reason, and maybe like this next year we see a whole different naming convention now that.
Well, no, did you catch that though? Like. PA one, Paul Arthur, PA one, PA two, PA three.
Wow, that's a.
He's like, oh no, it's putt approach, not Paul Arthur.
No, I think you're right. I think you're onto something here. So, when Prodigy comes out with a naming convention next season, that you know is intuitive, we're gonna know what happened.
Or just like good names.
We know what you did, Phil Arthur.
Yeah.
We know what you did.
Well, good for him. He's just cashing out or he's upset? I don't know. Well, it's all good. He's moving on.
But it sounds like he's creating a whole new company. I mean, he's going to...
Here's my putters. The Phil Arthur 1, the Phil Arthur 2, the Phil Arthur 3. Sorry, Phil Arthur. Sorry. I apologize.
It's solid. That was excellent work. Excellent work. All right, Joe, you ready to do a deer review?
Yes, please.
All right. It is time for our world-famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know what you should bring on the course. Tonight, we have the Mint Bullet, which is a two-speed, three-glide, zero-turn, one-fade putter, and we're pairing that with Dankful by Sierra Nevada, which is a 7.4% IPA, generously hoppy IPA, as Sierra Nevada puts it. We love reviewing these Sierra Nevada beers, one, because Sierra Nevada makes great beer, and two, because it is pretty much universally acquired.
Available, yeah.
For everyone. So it's a beer that we can review, and we know that everyone listening to this can probably get a hold of it. And also, it's a Northern California family-owned brewery, and they make fantastic beer, and... It's just good times. So when they come out with a good one, we don't review every beer they do, but when they come out with a good one, we bring it on the show. And this is a good beer, and we are happy to have it on for this one. So Joe, where do you want to start, disc or beer?
Let's start the disc. This is like the ultimate Robin wheelhouse. Beadless putter.
It has a micro bead.
Yeah, it does, which is like rounded flashing that doesn't bother you.
Yes, exactly.
Which is pretty rad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, no, it's not. I mean, you can see it, but you can't feel it.
No.
Which is my favorite kind of bead. I like that.
Just like your favorite kind. Anyways.
Favorite kind of what, Joe? What were you gonna finish that sentence or
goalie?
Oh, okay.
Your favorite kind of goalie.
See, but I can see them, but I can't feel.
I mean, if you don't feel the goalie, things are.
It sounds like a penalty.
got a few penalties, but they're worth it.
Sounds like a red card.
Those penalties have been worth it.
I think you just got a red card.
No, the red card means there's no penalty. Anyways.
No, I think
the red card means there's no penalty.
Yeah, no, there's no penalty on the goalie, but there was you definitely in it.
Anyways, okay. First and foremost, these are Royal Plastic.
Not to be confused with the new Latitude 64 Royal line discs.
I'm ready for this lawsuit. Man, I got your back.
Yeah.
You've been doing same. Royal for a minute.
Same.
Royal Plastic is rad. Guy, I know you're listening because I'm going to send you this podcast. Am I ever going to get a Royal Bobcat? I've been waiting forever, dude. This plastic is great. It is not Electron. It is its own proprietary blend.
Yes, of course.
It's super gummy, sticky, rad. Uh-huh.
It does not share any traits with Electron plastic at all. You're right.
I mean the good parts, but not the bad parts.
No, the bad parts are?
Like not gummy enough, not rad enough. It's cool. it's a cool putter. Like the first throw I had with this putter. So I will say a quick caveat. Robin and I did not throw together. It's been rainy. It's been COVID. It's been wild. We've thrown on our own. The first throw I had with this disc, I was like, all right, so we're going to get on the pod and Robin's going to be like, this disc is awesome. I love it. I knew right away this is a Robin style disc.
Oh, it is 100% Robin style disc.
Like I threw it a few times in the field. And the first thing that jumped to my mind was point and shoot. And then I went on a website for discs that is not OTB, which is very inferior. But the first thing it said was point and shoot. And I was like, yep. this is honestly, if you know how to throw putters and you throw putters well, you throw them nice and flat and straight, it's just going to go straight. It's not going to really finish left or right. If you throw it a little bit harder, you get some nice slow right turn. It's not going to turn and burn. It's a pretty rad disc.
Yeah. The only way you're going to get fade on it is if you put hyzer on it. That's for sure. Like, I think every single straight shot I threw with it finished straight or right. So, I'd say definitely on the like minus 0.25 side or minus 0.5 side on the turn instead of a zero in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But not crazy understable. In terms of comparisons, I'd say like it's slightly more understable than a Fresh Judge. But not by a ton.
No.
It's not as understable as a Pure
or a Deputy. Right.
Or even the Fierce, the Page's new Discraft putter. Well, I guess it's not new anymore.
Right. Here's the thing, too. So we have Royal Plastic. They will put it out, I believe, and maybe it's already out in their Eternal.
Yeah, I would imagine those will be Sublime more stable.
And Apex. They'll definitely more stable. And they're probably like really cool flyers in that, but once again we've got Royal Plastic bullets,
but still a ton of fun. And I'm just honestly terrified to like putt with it because like I really like the feel of it, and I don't want to put myself through that again, you know?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I just don't.
Well, and they're not as easy to get.
Like I already switched to roaches, and like it took time from my life, and it was a difficult process. And
I mean, with that said, Guy, if you send us a whole bunch of
it's just bullets, hard. It's just hard.
You could kick a roach out of Robin's bag.
It feels nice. It feels nice. I should say that.
It does.
It feels nice. It flies nice. I will say that having the plastic options of what I use, which is the roach or the other putters, where I can get more stability out of a higher line plastic is helpful when layering putters in your game. But nonetheless, this is a fun one. It's a lot of fun. This is a great putter to bring out and just mess with different lines you can, especially in wooded areas where you need to match a line or where you need to thread a gap and test out some turn and things like that. That's where this will thrive.
And Mint is just, they're just doing well. I mean, this is, they got the Mustang came at the same time. The what's it called? The one coming out in a minute?
Longhorn.
The Longhorn's about to be out. They're just pumping out quality discs. Like, I can't tell you right now. And there's lots of brands we've messed with. There's lots of cool brands starting up. Discs that we've checked out. There's not been a miss in the Mint lineup so far.
No.
There's not been a disc that we've checked out that...
Well, they're doing a good job of filling all of the slots.
Well, I'll tell
as
you,
they go,
because we haven't recorded in a while. This is a quick little.
Well,
and
we haven't reviewed the Mustang yet,
right? But,
and we haven't thrown the Longhorn.
Yeah, we've,
so we're kind of getting ahead of the getting the carriage ahead of the horse here a little bit.
Right. Well, I said yet they haven't had a misstep yet, but I 2 weeks ago we missed last week's podcast. I went to San Diego. I played disc golf with Ian from CCDG a few times, and he, through a trade from another disc golf podcast listener, which is great, acquired a Freetail. After being on with us, he had lost his Sidewinder that he'd beat up to beauty that he's throwing rollers with. Told him about the Freetail. He ended up getting one. No joke. Dude is in love with that Freetail. In love with it. Rollers. By the second day, he was taking second shots, throwing really gross forehand turnover rollers with the Freetail. Loving every second. He threw great backhand rollers. That disc is not leaving his bag. I'm surprised he hasn't, because he doesn't buy discs, because that's,
yeah,
he's a different disc freak than we are.
Yes.
Like, we want to buy everything. He's like, I want everything to live in my bag for 35 years. I just want to talk to people and like go to cool courses.
Yeah.
He will be a Freetail man for his life. Like, I really like my Freetail.
Well, I mean, when you're faced with beating in a Sidewinder for 4 years, which is what it would take,
yep,
to get his Sidewinder back to what he wants it to be, or you get this disc that out of the box, fresh is what you want it to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, long digression. Be like, Mint's doing well.
Yeah.
Let's get the beer.
Fantastic. All right. Beer. So Dankful IPA, 7.4% alcohol, Sierra Nevada. This is, I mean, the name of the beer describes it very well. This is a dank IPA. It is very simple, but it is effective, and it is delicious.
It's got Yukonot, Mosaic, Idaho 7, Columbus, Nelson, Sauvin, and Neo Mexicanas hops. Super duper hoppy.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
I have never heard of Neo Mexicanas hops. But it all tastes grand. It is definitely, as much as it says Dankful, right? And we've had this conversation I think a few times on the pod and a few times just Rob and I hanging out. Dank kind of is a hard description for me to land on, because when I think dank, in my mind I really go to like that East Coast, not the New England East Coast, not the hazy, more like the East Coast, like Founders. When I think dank, I think that more, I guess, sweet, malty.
Yeah.
And this is not, this is... Maybe
but
a
yeah,
little
like
malty,
the,
but
like
this
the,
is
like the honey malt,
right,
kind of flavor is typically associated with a dank.
Right. And this reminds me much more of like the West Coast, bitter, maybe a little bit of like citrus piney IPA and hop.
Mm-hmm. Definitely and a lot of fruit. Definitely a lot of fruit.
If you've been a drinker of Sierra Nevada, aside from Hazy Little Thing, like Sierra Nevada has a very distinct mm-hmm. flavor profile.
Yeah.
As Robin said, we went to school and we live in a region where Sierra Nevada is a big part of our life and what we drink. And I know, especially when we were in school, and this is 12, 13 years ago, world. At that point in time, Sierra Nevada really was like a one-trick pony-ish. Like, they had their other beers, but it was really like, oh,
we drank Celebration, we drank Pale Ale, and we drank Torpedo.
No, Torpedo didn't exist when I was there.
It did, yeah.
I don't know.
I think so. Let's check that.
Yeah.
I think Torpedo's like 10 years old.
Yeah, so, but they all had that Sierra Nevada feel.
Yeah.
And they've branched out more like this. I don't know that I would crack this if I had this in a pint glass. That I'd be like, oh, it's Sierra Nevada. I think if someone told me it's Sierra Nevada, I'd be like, oh, yeah. But it's its own world is all I'm trying to say. Like, it's an awesome. I still don't know that I call it dank. Because my connotation with dank is this weird East Coast thing, which is probably wrong. But that's, like, in my mind.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it's not fantastic. It's amazing. It's a great beer. I really, really like this beer, but it does bring me more back to like what brought us to this podcast. The beers that brought us to the Deer Review. Those big hop forward West Coast IPAs that give you a big bitter, give you a lot of flavor.
I would say I don't think that this is like a true example of like a truly dank tasting beer.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So like I think it's
exactly.
I think it's like an introduction to the flavor at best, and an accessible version, but it's not.
Like if I brought this to Michigan and said, check out this super dank. Dankful IPA, they would take a sip and be like, that's not dank.
No, it tastes like it more than anything else. It tastes like a fruity, hoppy IPA. I mean, it really that's it with a little bit of sweetness. It's got like a little bit of that honey, malty flavor to it that gives you a tiny, like ABV finish, like where you can tell at the very end that there's a little bit of strength
and like
to
a
it.
Big, almost like coffee but, bitter.
Yeah, it could a little bit, but
I mean, just
this, I think
like,
overall, like
taste, but it is a nice bitter.
I think overall, what that is like the kind of grapefruity, tangerine,
good call,
you know, flavors that you would get from an IPA of this style. So, no, it's not crazy complex, but it's very good and it's very smooth and it's very consistent and it's 7.4%. I like that,
and I like that.
And I like that.
I agree.
So, yeah. All right. Any closing thoughts on the beer?
It's great.
Okay. Any are you ready to give our rating on these ones? So, for me, the beer's awesome. I like it. You can get it in six packs. It's like $9.99. That's great. For a good beer. Oh my God. What the fuck is wrong with you? Jesus.
My stomach hurts.
Sweet baby. Yeah, I can tell. Does it still hurt?
No, it feels great now.
Good Lord. I just can't.
My belt's too tight.
Like what? You're not wearing a belt.
Yeah, I am.
Don't show me. Don't show me. I don't want to see it. All right, so I love the beer. That's great. What do you think about the beer, Joe?
The beer's great. Beer's great. It's like it's at 7.4. It's not too sticky pine. It's not too super bitter end. It's a refreshing. I think you got the bitter totally right, actually. that keeps it refreshing. It's more like a citrusy, like grapefruity.
Yeah.
Tail, which is like it's a refreshing bitter. So it's fantastic.
It just has a little bit of like honey malt to it that gives it that, you know, that's kind of how they built that flavor. So they made it very hop forward with the kind of citrusy grapefruit, maybe even like a little bit of apricot, something like that. And then the finish is a little bit of like sweetness and malt, which is how they built that flavor profile. So,
yeah.
But overall, very enjoyable, very crisp, and fantastic. I like it. It's good for,
yeah, you know,
for what it is, for how inexpensive it is and the, bang for your buck in terms of the ABV. I don't know that, you know, it's good times.
You know what it is? It's like, I think we've reviewed it. If we haven't, we have to, it's like a fresh burst end to a celebration.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Celebration is way more
Celebration, but
dense than this. Yeah.
I love Celebration. That's my favorite Santa Clara beer.
No, it's a fantastic beer. And it's in season.
Yes, it is.
So
we haven't reviewed it. We will soon, but I think we have.
Yeah. So the Bullet, I love this disc. It's a lot of fun. I don't want to throw it more because I don't want to have a putter crisis in my life. So I'm going to leave it at, this is a great disc and it's a lot of fun to throw.
We can only have one podcast host at a time in a putter crisis.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it just can't happen. I'm not ready for that. So I'm going to leave it at that. And, it's a great disc. The plastic feels amazing, which I knew it would. And, it flies nice. And, I love my wife.
Nice. It is great. Beyond just like the feel and the flight, the stamp job of all of like the things that maybe are printed by MVP and all that stuff, just amazing. I don't know if you even saw this one. Like, there's beautiful like rainbow foil.
Oh yeah. No, this one's same thing.
Oh, it's so rad.
Well, not same thing, but they're multiple, all of them that I've seen are
so
multi-foil.
Great.
It's
a fantastic disc, and it's such an amazing compliment to the Prophet.
Yeah.
It just makes so much sense for this disc to come out. They did such a great job.
I think they should have put this out before the Prophet.
I do too. I do too.
In my opinion, 100%. This is a better disc than the Prophet.
I love the Prophet's rad. I like the Prophet.
I like this more.
I think I like the Prophet more.
You don't, but
I like the Prophet for a throwing putter. I like this for a putting putter.
I like
this is a great throwing putter too. You're right.
Yeah, I.
You're right. You're right. You know what? When you want to putt, you want something. You just point and shoot, and that's what this is.
Yeah,
and that's why my move from Wizard to Judge was so easy, because it was point and shoot and I didn't have to like think about it hooking up and fading from 25 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And this just goes in.
Yeah.
And that's so the first time in a long time.
Well, and the name Bullet too.
Because I have a basket now. I actually did a lot of putting with the Bullet, which I usually don't actually putt with putters.
That's a dangerous thing to do, you know? Right.
Yeah. It was very nice. The chains really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great disc. I will say, just to be clear and honest, it's not going to knock the Judge out of the DGP bag.
Yeah. I agree.
Because the Judge is like magic, and maybe I'll go back to it. I don't know. but it is a fantastic, fantastic disc.
No, I really, really like it. And I'm excited to see it.
And if you're thinking about like changing putters, which is, I feel like, 95% of people playing disc golf, you should check out a Bullet.
And I'd be very interested in either Apex or Eternal.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I think I love Mint so much, but I really would like to, like you said, Royal Bobcats would be sweet.
They made them, and they sold out super fast, and I never got one, and guy, I love you, but you've told me like five times we're going to make them. We're putting them out like this time, and they've never come out. When they come out, just sign up for like five.
Yeah, but same thing with something like this, like an eternal bullet. I imagine that would fly. Like these glide pretty good. I like it. It's a good disc.
Great disc.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're both out on the disc, as I take it. We like the disc, but neither of us is going to bag it. It's not going to overtake the judge in the DGP bag. We both love the beer, so we're 2 of 4.
So we're 50-50. This is James Conrad leaving Innova.
Okay.
I feel like it's a solid 50-50. I really do.
I think you're right. I hope you're right.
I do, too.
I hope you're right. Because it would be, as much as I think that James Conrad will stay with Innova, it would be way more interesting if he didn't. So I hope you're right.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we got for you in this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. I'd like to thank our sponsor, OTB Discs. They are amazing. Use promo code DGPodcast. Get free shipping on your next order. Best disc golf retailer on the planet. Awesome dudes. Just hit them up. OTBDiscs.com. And next, hit up our website, throwstuffatstuff.com. We have some discs up there, some other stuff. You can also join our Slack group. Through the website, there's a join Slack link, the best disc golf community on the planet. I promise you, it is amazing. Check out, I don't know what I'm talking about, but whatever.
Go to throwstuffatstuff.com, click on the join Slack link, jump into our Slack group, have a good time with us.
Nonetheless, go to iTunes, hit the 5 stars, review us, despite my like complete brain fart in the end of this episode that we should probably edit out.
That is the first time out of 214 episodes, and I've had many more brain farts, so we're good with it.
I'm just a little out of practice, but it's okay. Nonetheless, we would appreciate the stars, and in the meantime, get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you wanna put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you feel my throw for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA. So let's go to the bar, and then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. Then I'll fucking hook it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook it.